Good morning. Today is Tuesday, March the 27th. Joining us this morning, hey, who's in charge? Who's running Fortuna this morning, guys? Got Chief Bill and City Manager Mark here. That doesn't leave a whole lot to be concerned about, huh?
You know, we're in good hands. The mayor's in town, so everything's good back home.
So in case there is a fire, it's covered, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. Well, it is a rare privilege to have both of you guys here. Normally when I have two folks, it has to do with turnover and an introduction of the first time.
Not today.
So what do we owe the privilege of having two of the city leaders with us?
Must be March Madness.
Yeah, we thought we'd just both come down here and brighten your day.
Good, okay. Well, hey, if you're going to leave it open for me, let's talk. Was there, with some of the discussions about on-campus safety, now, you know, sometimes it's framed as gun control, sometimes it's focused as safety on campus or for kids. What are some of the steps, Bill, that Fortuna PD does that you may not even recognize, mm-hmm. or the community may not recognize as an overt something that is focusing on kid safety, but it's just kind of baked into what the officers do?
Yeah, so right now we have a school resource officer. That's first and foremost as far as safety on campus goes. Our school resource officer covers all of the schools in the Ober Valley from Bridgeville to Lolita, but she has an office at Fortuna High School. And she provides an armed, uniformed presence on the campuses on a daily basis.
She goes out to Bridgeville?
She does, to the elementary schools and things.
There are no plans to annex, is there, Mark?
Not right away.
Not Bridgeville?
Yeah.
No, yeah, okay. Yeah.
No. Just one. Outside of our sphere.
Yeah. 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 Nip that rumor right now. Okay.
So she's doing a lot. I mean, she actually, and I'm happy to also say that Measure Z committee, she's funded through Measure Z, that position. And Measure Z just recently notified us that they ranked that position as one of their highest priorities for funding. So we're really excited to get funding next year for that as well, next fiscal year. But she's also in contact daily with the school administrators, teachers, students, talking about school safety. She's currently organizing a active shooter response by law enforcement. So we're going to be doing some drills, working with allied agencies like CHP, the Sheriff's Department, Fortuna Fire, Ferndale PD, Riadel PD, all the agencies in the Ill River Valley, doing some mock scenario type training and drills. So
the live shooter on campus, is that different than a live shooter, let's say, on Main Street?
We take the same approach. Basically, go in, take out the threat. That's what we want to do. If we have an active shooter situation, our first priority as law enforcement is to go in and take out the threat. We're not going to wait. We're not going to wait for backup. We're not going to wait for reinforcements while an active shooting situation is occurring. The first officer there is going to go in and engage and take out the threat.
I would imagine, as a law enforcement guy, not having those deputies going in the situation at the high school, mm-hmm. must have been very frustrating for you.
That was. That's it. Every time I think about that situation, it is very frustrating. And that's not how we train, and that's not how we're supposed to do it. So it's frustrating when you see something like that happen.
On the flip side, the guy that went in and took out the kid.
Right, in Maryland.
That one was the way it's supposed to play.
That's the way it's supposed to happen, yes.
A little bit of a different outcome.
Right. He did exactly what he was trained to do.
How do you practice or how do you train for something like that really is life-threatening for the officer? I mean, if somebody was logical about it, okay, yeah. They're having to weigh things. If they're emotional about it, okay, there's not a lot of logical thought. It's just more muscle memory, so to speak.
In a situation like that, if you have to think about it or you have reservations about doing it, you're in the wrong career field, really. You know, we train to take out the threat. I mean, that's first and foremost is taking out the threat in an active shooter situation. So we set up mock scenarios and we train as best we can to prepare for, God forbid that day ever happened. But if it did, we would have some training and, muscle memory, motor skills to handle that situation.
The CHP has got there every 15 minutes. Is it still 15 minutes, or is it now 12 minutes, or is it 17?
It's still
minutes?
Every 15 minutes.
It's still 15. Yeah. Okay, where there's the mock scenario played out over a couple of days about a kid,
right?
In a drunk driving scenario, somebody dies.
Yes,
and playing that out. Is there a parallel for that with something like what we've, as a country, have been experiencing over the last 40 or 50 years? I know it's less frequent today than what it was 20 years ago, but it's there, and certainly it's stirred up a lot more with social media and the traditional media now than what it has been in the past. Mm-hmm. But is there a parallel for that, or is there an opportunity for something like that to have a role play scenario out that would be comparable?
For an active shooter on
screen? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if, texting and distracted driving and DUI crashes and things like that, and it's kind of what the focus of every 15 minutes is. But yeah, I kind of think back when I was in high school in the 1980s,
Oh, sure. Pull the 80s card on us, Willie.
Yeah.
I know why you're here. You're going to take him out, aren't you?
we didn't have any, of that type of mindset, school shootings and things like that. Whereas I think kids today are more conditioned and trained, And
it's a little different.
It's a little different. Yeah, their mindset's different.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chief Bill, City Manager Mark from Fortuna.
Good morning. Kind
of makes you guys sound like Sesame Street, doesn't it?
Some days.
Yeah. If I see Elmo sticking out of the window. In the first segment, guys, we were talking a little bit about on-campus safety measures for kids. Now, even during the school year, the kids are spending less than half their day on campus. What happens during summertime? What happens during breaks? What happens during those hours? I know it's not the responsibility of government to raise kids, but it certainly is to help provide a safe environment, so the kids can be kids, so to speak. However we want to define that, that's a whole different topic. And probably good fodder for another commercial break. But for the community to be safe for kids, are there new measures that are being taken in cities across the country? Is Fortuna implementing some of those? What are some of the things that you're looking for to make the city safe? What are the indicators that you're looking for that'll tell you that it's not necessarily as safe as you'd like it?
Well, I think, one thing I know for sure is, much more active and structured Parks and Rec program. We have day camp programs, and even during the breaks, we know parents are on our schedule, they're used to the drop off the kids, go to work routine, and so our Park and Rec program provide those kind of day camp options, and a lot of cities do that, so that parents have, they don't have to you know, have complete upheaval just because it's a you know, 1 week spring break or whatever.
But isn't that one of those discretionarily funded programs out of the general fund that oftentimes gets cut back?
Or there's a fee to participate, you know? Yeah.
As Mark was saying, I think the fee is supposed to offset the cost. So, I know all the summer fund programs at the park and the different programs, they do have a fee associated with them to cover those costs. But
how many of those get waived also because of, you know?
And not everybody can participate, unfortunately. That's how that goes.
Right.
There's capacity and cost.
I know this is going to sound really old and really stupid, but hey, I'm old and stupid. So, is there a bookmobile anymore? I can remember looking forward in the old days.
Yeah.
We'd take the chisel and carve the wheel and, you know, and go to the bookmobile, and it was something we would look forward to reading.
You know,
and getting those books.
I honestly haven't seen a bookmobile for years. We have the library in town at 14th and N, and I know, you know, when I was a kid, and I lived in Fortuna as a kid, and I would ride my bike to the library and go there. But I think, you know, the library is a tremendous asset for the city, and to have a library in Fortuna is a great thing. And I know it's being utilized by at least some of the kids. But I haven't seen a bookmobile for a long time.
Yeah,
I said, old and chiseled, right?
Yeah, right. I know. I was just having this discussion with a teacher friend of mine and about how they don't, you know, teach kids how to use the dictionary anymore because it's more applicable to learn how to do that on their phone, because in all likelihood they're going to be using a device, you know. And I kind of argue, I'm kind of old school. I think knowing your way around a dictionary is kind of a valuable skill in itself.
I'm not sure old school. I think maybe perhaps elderly school.
Thank you for correcting that.
It's like the concept of Robert's Rules of Order or the Dewey Decimal System or any of these things that are the foundationals. You know, if you don't understand where you came from,
right?
You know, all you're doing is dealing with surface level stuff instead of really mastering a concept. Am I sounding old now, too? Winston in that conversation about 2 seconds.
He's checking his phone.
Yeah.
he's surfing right now.
He's texting. Yeah. Yeah.
But reading books. I mean, something as simple as that. I know a lot of the e-books now.
Yeah, they have Kindles and e-books.
That's not the same thing.
It's not turning the page and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I know reading is encouraged, and a lot of folks are now reading more because of the electronic exposure to it.
Right.
But it's just different. So I'm wondering, and some of the things they're reading now are stuff we couldn't get access to in the old days. So when your officers are out on the street, Bill, and they're talking to kids, you know, are they getting different playback? Are kids still pretty much kids?
You know, that's a good question. Kids are still pretty much kids. Obviously, you know, things like cell phones, social media, they communicate a lot differently than in the past, in my opinion. Everybody, you know, you could be sitting in the same room with someone and texting with them at the same time instead of just getting up and going over and talking to them. So I think, you know, in that regard, social media, the electronic generation.
As he picks up one of his two cell phones.
Yeah, I've got two cell phones. Yeah. One's a work phone. But it's changed. It's changed not only for the youth of today, but the adults of today. I mean, think about it. Everybody that you interact with has a cell phone. Everybody. I mean, in our department, when we sit down for briefing in the morning, everybody has a cell phone sitting in front of them at the briefing table. Their own cell phone, they bring it to work, but there's not a person that comes in without a cell phone, not one. And it's just the way it is nowadays.
KINS, News and Information Time. Thank God for radio. It's 8:30.
Well, What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Wheatley, City Manager of Fortuna, and Bill Doberstein, the cop guy. Chief of Police for the City of Fortuna.
Cop guy works too.
Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag, and Lolita Cheese Company. Fellas, as we look into the future, I know you're playing budget time now and trying to get all that stuff done. And most times when we talk about budget, we talk about what's the governor going to do? What are the new rules? What are the regulations? How much is it going to cost? Where is it coming from? Et cetera, et cetera. But with some of the dynamics that are in the news these days, is it causing different conversation during the budget at the staff level of where do we put priorities? How can we help to address? How do we avoid this stuff visiting our town? I was watching one of the Guy Fieri programs, not last night, but the night before, whatever that day was. And it was a guy from Vegas. You know, Las Vegas Proud or Las Vegas Strong. You know, and you have those coming out over and over and over because of some of these things that nobody anticipates popping up. Is that starting to seep into the discussion, into the conversation about budget priorities, or do we still kind of have a not my town and we focus on what we focus on last year?
I think, you know, for our recent experience has been, you know, we're seeing a pretty consistent, steady economy. You know, we're not retail dependent, but we are dependent on heavily on sales tax base, and we have over 400 solid businesses in town that are doing all kinds of different things, and that has pretty much across all sectors has been good. We've had a lot of construction activity over the last couple of years, so that's really been a solid sector for us. And then we see the peaks and valleys of, you know, fuel and things like that you know run across the state economy, but I think one of the interesting things that I think we're seeing a lot of, and we've had a few businesses, I call them marijuana refugees, because they're coming to Fortuna because they're being displaced in other communities because they can't, either their space that they're renting or leasing is no longer available to them, or the prices, they're being priced out, and or they want to come to a community where there's going to be, you know, some level of consistency. And so we're that community, and we're offering that. So
is that still continuing, Mark? I mean, with the flattening out, the malaise, whatever we want to call it, in the marijuana sector, that it's not doing what some people were anticipating? Are you seeing that push is lessening?
I think we're still seeing people that need space and or are interested in doing a startup business, and so there is that level of interest. But you know whether that's going to be sustained, that's hard to say, because you're right, you know, the economics of the whole industry are changing and before our eyes on a very rapid pace, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's intriguing to see how this is playing out a little bit more quickly than I think a lot of us were anticipating, but it's certainly getting there. Bill, how about for you? Are you seeing, or your folks out on the street, I know you still get out in the street, but for the folks out in the street, are they seeing any changes, any either new discussions, new sensitivities, things changing at all in the last little bit that are going to impact your how you apply the dollars?
Yeah, well, you know, one thing that we're working on that's going to be in this year's budget is an alert system for our residents, which will be a new change for us. It's called Code Red. And it's going to be able to, anytime there's a event, an emergency, a fire, anything that is going to affect a certain neighborhood in Fortuna, we're going to be able to, at a touch of a computer, send a message to all those people affected in that area. So
it's like a geographic outreach?
Right, it's geographic outreach, and when we get the system going, we're going to be asking people to sign in with their cell phone numbers and things like that. We're already looking at some of the ways we're changing business is on our computer-aided dispatch records management system, we're able to now track where we have cameras in town. So we're asking all commercial businesses, residential homes that have outside video surveillance, including Ring doorbells, to go on to the website and just let us know that there's a camera there. And that way, if there's a crime or an event that occurs in that that area, our investigators have the ability to go back and look at the video surveillance, and it helps us a great deal knowing that where those cameras are. We're not tapping into anybody's system or anything like that. I had a few questions about that, and I'm like, no, we just want to know where there's a camera in case there's a crime in this area, so we can go back and see if maybe your camera caught a piece of that crime. So that's
were people against?
No,
having the streaming into the system, or were they in favor of? Because I'm thinking, the other side going, if I have it there, I don't care who's going to see what. There's nothing goofy that I'm doing.
And our system has no ability to tap into your system and stream into it.
Okay.
It's just basically letting us know where the cameras are in case we have a crime in that area. And it might be a block or two away from where a crime happened. However, maybe that was the way that the person ran or left, and we caught a license plate or a suspect description or something like that on a video system. So that's helping us out. So technology really is changing the way we police nowadays. That's where we're seeing the biggest emphasis. You know, all of our officers wear body cameras now. That's in the last 2 years. That's a big change for us. So every interaction that we have with the public, is captured on video. It's also dropped complaints a great deal, because as soon as someone comes in and says, hey, I think your officer acted inappropriately, we'll say, okay, well, let's go back and review the body camera footage. And I've had people say, oh, never mind. And
oh, really? They were just trolling for...
They were just they were upset that they got a ticket or something like that and wanted to make a complaint. And when they found out there was a body camera video of that, they changed their mind and withdrew their complaint and left.
Oh, how cheesy is that? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Wheatley and Bill Doberstein from the city of sunny Fortuna.
Yes.
85 degrees this morning when we left.
Oh, really? Was that inside or outside?
I was inside my car.
Oh, springtime's coming around the corner. Is River Lodge continuing to serve kind of as the cultural focus point for the city?
Absolutely. I mean, it's that place is full all the time. It's in high demand for all kinds of events. We just had the Daffodil event there last week.
Daffodil show?
Yep. And
why not expand it? I mean, there's property around it, or is that all private land and this is kind of a standalone?
Well, we're actually looking at the potential acquisition of some of the land to the north of it.
Is it the road?
No, there's a, where there are parking areas. There's a, it almost looks like a park area right now. Some trees in there, and it's along the levee. And, it's kind of informally used, a lot of dog walkers and that sort of thing. And our plan is to look at trying to acquire that and make that and integrate that in as kind of green space, public open space out there. So there's a lot of events that could be indoor, outdoor that happen at River Lodge. And then, there is some other lands around it that are potentially you know, could expand onto too. There's been things kicked around. So
yeah, it seems like it's really a well-used nugget, but it's kind of limited because of either so many people using it, you got conflicts, or the capacity of it for whatever use may not be 100% what somebody would like. Okay, well, I mean, if it's a moneymaker, you can plow it back in and become even more what people want.
It's amazing how many events go through there. It's in constant use. And then, you know, that location is a kind of a hub for a lot of things. That's where the John Campbell Memorial Trail is designated. It's to start at River Lodge and go up the creek and then end up at Headwaters. So that would make its way through town. And then the levee ultimately could connect going north all the way up here to the Humboldt Bay Area with the trail connectors going on here. So it would be a great, you know, trail connectivity along all the way up to Humboldt Bay, all the way down to Fortuna.
Yeah, it seems like there's need. It's kind of like the Sequoia Conference Center too. Right. You know, you get something like that, yeah. And yeah, it just gets used and used and used and used, and it's kind of cool to see that.
Yeah,
with all the effort that went into the development of it.
They just spent a good chunk of change on reworking the whole sound system for River Lodge too. I know they have a brand new sound system throughout the building, and I know there's talk about upgrading video and things like that for River Lodge. So.
Hey.
Moving in the right direction there.
There we go. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thank you.
85 degrees. Huh? See everybody tomorrow.